please go to our church website to listen to the audio version, or go to YouTube channel to listen to the preach in the video format. I did say that the prophecy or the writings of Daniel did tell us and remind us that in the time that you and me are in right now, there's going to be a leash of evil and wickedness in this world. And the people who know their God, according to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, will be strong and do exploit. But the enemy is not going to be brittle. He's going to be talking with a loud voice, pompous word, great words, to accuse the Almighty. And he's going to bring strategies, things that the enemy is going to use, distractions, disappointments, criticisms, betrayals, temptations, persecutions, and accusations. These tools that the enemy will use is against the saints of God, against Christians, will come under the course most of these distractions, disappointment, criticisms, betrayal, temptation, persecutions, and accusations. They are the people that the enemy is targeting most. The purpose is to wear you out. The purpose is also to weigh you down. And when you have a problem that repeats itself over and over and over, remember, the enemy is at work in this time to wear you out. Now, to bring us up to speed, I did say that disappointment is a feeling of losing hope, confidence, and failure of having lost something you hoped for and expected to happen and didn't happen. The main cause of disappointment is unfulfilled expectation. And that can happen in any way. Disappointment is the abandonment of peace. You don't even have peace. Disappointment is hope delayed, which will make your heart sick. It will break your heart. And we did say that when you are disappointed, you become vulnerable. Hallelujah. You become vulnerable because the enemy releases fiery darts into our hearts, that we become weak. And in our weakness, the enemy will hit us hard, according to the writings of Paul the Apostle from Ephesians 6:16. You see, the fiery dart is meant to break your heart and your will and leave you paralyzed and get you stuck in a cycle of disappointment. The fiery dart that the enemy brings, the difficulties that you have, the challenges that you face, the obstacles that you have, the disappointment, the distractions, is meant also, the purpose, is to make you paralyzed and keep you in a cycle of disappointment, unfulfilled hope, hope delayed. Yes, your heart is sick. And this sometimes will drag on and on. And this is what we are talking about today. See, in this church, we don't talk about theories. We talk about realities. Things that the Bible teaches, that sometimes we preachers come in and preach it so nice and talk about it and think, wow, then we go home. But we want to talk about everyday life. Hallelujah. So, the fiery that will mess up your mind and will mess up your emotions and take your confidence away. When you are disappointed, your heart gets sick. You become vulnerable, you become weak. The enemy then rub it in. And the whole idea is to make sure that he keeps you there because your mind is messed up. Your emotion is messed up. And your confidence eludes you. That means your confidence goes away. The purpose of this is to get you stuck in the cycle so that you stay in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, don't stay in disappointment. Say it to somebody. Hallelujah. When you are disappointed, your heart is sick. You're broken. You're weak, you're vulnerable. You don't know what to do. But don't stay in it, because that's the enemy's strategy to keep you staying in it so that he can mess you about. You see, that is why you can't continue in that cycle of disappointment. So anyway, what is cycle of disappointment? I use words like that, and sometimes I need to explain it. Cycles are patterns. Patterns, things that, this one, it looks like that, it looks like that, it looks like that. Oh, I'm familiar with this. I've seen this before. Patterns. Cycles are patterns. Cycles are events. That is something that repeats itself over and over again, or ever so often. It's a cycle. Do you get that? You see, we know we are what? We are in summer. It's a cycle. We know there's going to be another summer next year, right? And I'm going to be alive. I'm sure you are going to be alive too. So we're going to see a pattern. And then we know that from summer we go to autumn or fall if you're American. And then we're going to, spring. So these things repeat itself. They are cycles. They go and come. They go and come. So we expect that. So cycles are patterns, events, something that repeats itself over and over again. So every circumstance has a cycle. So if you are disappointed, I just want you to know that you have there's a cycle to it. If you are being distracted, there's a cycle to it. Every problem has a cycle. It has a beginning and an end to it. Whenever or the moment you obey the word of God, God also releases a cycle of blessing in your life, which repeats itself over and over again. And that will be a pattern in your life. It has a beginning and the end. Likewise, there are cycles that are initiated by disobedience. When we disobey God, there's a cycle. Something, patterns that repeat itself. And if you do not repent or turn away from that, it will repeat itself over and over again. But there's the good news. The good news is that your circumstances has an expiration date. Hallelujah. Do you like that? You see, your circumstances, if at the moment you're sitting here and thinking, oh God, last year I was like this, this year I was like this, I was the only person who go to the interview, they employ everybody, but not me. I'm the only one who's always in financial hardship. I'm the only one who's always sick. Oh, my children are always sick. Oh, there's so much failure. In my home, there's this, there's that. Look, your circumstances has an expiration date. Amen. Look at somebody and say to that person, your circumstances has an expiration date. Whether it is good or bad, it has an expiration date. It's not going to be like that forever. You see, every circumstance, every problem has a beginning and an end, and it's not going to last forever. God has allowed the enemy to oppose you for a moment because he's going to give you the victory. Hallelujah. You see, when we read from the book of Daniel, I mean, it was so obvious to us, Daniel 7. It was so obvious to us that the enemy is going to be given the chance to do what he has to do. He's going to be pompous. He's going to change our laws, our principles, our values, and it's going to be anti-Christian sentiments and everything. God is going to allow him. But then it's also in the same chapter, he said, you know what? God is going to change the situation. He's going to literally rise up and defeat the enemy. Hallelujah. So I want you to understand that God is going to give you the victory wherever you are. So disappointment, unfulfilled expectations, hope delayed will come. And for a season. But if you stay in that circumstances, you get into the cycle of that circumstances. Hallelujah. If you don't deal with the cycle of disappointment, it will affect your confidence. It will affect your mood. And what you do with your life going forward. If you're disappointed and you're saying, you know what? Oh, I failed this examination. So you are so heartbroken and you are so in it. Or maybe you've gone through death. You've experienced death. That is one of the most disappointing things that anybody could understand, right? Isn't it? Or an encounter. It's not just me. I've seen so many deaths, some in my own family. And it hurts. Your heart gets sick according to scripture. It breaks your heart. I mean, there's some sort of emptiness enters you. There's some sort of pain. There's some sort of bruising that enters you. Somebody only had to say something and you remember it's so raw. It's so painful. It can be so many years and you're still going through that cycle. But you know what? We're not going to stay in that. Because our mood and our confidence and our lives going forward will be affected. For instance, your relationship are going to be affected and you might end up being a recluse. Self-isolating like Elijah did. He was in the wilderness and hid in a cave. Now, let me press on a little bit and then we'll read our main scripture today to remind ourselves why we are saying this, because we read it last week and we have to repeat it again. You see, when you are somebody who's disappointed, it's likely to become a recluse if you are caught in the cycle and you stay in it. You self-isolate. You hide yourself. You don't want to talk to anybody because you're going through disappointment. And I just want you to know there's not just disappointment, but there's a spirit behind that at work. Do you understand that? Normally, you will not be hiding. Normally, you will not be a recluse. Normally, you're not self-isolated. Yesterday, you were laughing and chatting with everybody. How come today you don't even have the strength to do that? You are disappointed. And something is working behind this. Some people don't understand spiritual warfare. Christians talk about spiritual warfare, but they have absolutely no understand, most of them anyway. But what we know, what we've experienced, gives us a little bit of insight to do this. So, from here on, you become so cautious. You are not even open to make any relationship work for you. Because you are looking for another disappointment in your life because you are heartbroken. I don't know any of you, if either you've left a marriage relationship or maybe you were thinking of marrying somebody and something happened and it did not work for you. I don't know. You feel so heartbroken that it will take you sometimes years before you can ever relate to somebody again because the trust is broken. Is that yes or no? Only a few of you. The rest are all holy people. They have no feelings, right? So what do? You have to cast them out. You have to cast and rebuke those fiery darts from the wicked one. The next step of the cycle is depression. Because if you stay in it, depression will fall upon you. Then sorrow and grief. And eventually death occurs. Your spirit dies. And your body may even respond to that and you get physically sick. All depressions begins with disappointment. No depression begins by itself. So let's take our main Bible passage, which is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 4. It's going to be projected. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 4. It says, verse 1 to 4. First Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 4. We are looking at verse 16 right now. Let me read verse 1 to 4. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw when Elijah saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. Some translations say juniper tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I'm no better. I'm not greater than my father's. This is incredible. We are talking about Elijah. I introduced him to you last week. That this man knew God. Elijah was known for his prayer life. Elijah was known for a man to be a man of faith who trusted God. Elijah was somebody who literally worked miracles. He raised the dead 900 years before Jesus Christ was born. He is someone who was able to part the River Jordan with his mantle and he walked on dry land. The man was not seen, but God took him away. That's incredible. Second time we hear of that. First one was in Genesis chapter 5 about Enoch. Second time is about Elijah. That's, I believe this will be in 2 Kings chapter whatever, 1 or 2. So here we hear and we say that this man was an incredible man. He was God's spokesperson. He is the guy who prayed and fire came from heaven and destroyed a sacrifice. Burnt a sacrifice. And at that time, the people of Israel had moved their heart away from God. They were worshiping idols. They were involved in pornography, fornication, adultery, all manner of immorality, and all manner of lies, and all manner of idol worship. Other things were more important to them than God. And Elijah was someone who was able to move their heart to God. That means, literally, he was able to, bring salvation onto a whole nation of millions of people. Yes? He said, the God that answered by fire, whom we worship. And God answered his prayer by fire. And the whole nation, think about it, say, United Kingdom, not as many then, they turned their heart to come and worship God. So there was a massive move of people rededicating their life to God and people accepting Jesus or accepting God as their Lord and the only God. So for that person, he was not an ordinary man. He was a man like us, but he stood firm. But here is the same person whom, after having destroyed 450, prophets of the false god called Baal, their coordinator called Jezebel, who is the wife of the king at the time, Ahab, said, you know what? I have heard that you destroyed my prophets. Now, let God do unto me. If I will not do the same to you by the next morning. Elijah was fearless, but how come that he moved away? The answer is disappointment. Why? Because at the time, the people who were supposed to be the people of God, they should have stood and said, no, this is our prophet. But we didn't hear a word from any of them. And I don't know how many times that sometimes you're doing something, you expect people to stand with you and everybody walk away from you. And you're all alone. How many times that you are in trouble and you think that, oh, your best friends should stand with you and you are all alone? How many times that you're going through difficult and maybe when you had money, you're doing parties for your children, your friends and other things and now you don't have it, nobody even looking for you. How many times when you were in an influential position, you were helping other people, but now that you don't have it and you are sick, nobody's visiting you. What a disappointment for this man, Elijah. He was disappointed. So he decided he was going to run from this woman. And he ran for many days. And then he told his servants, don't come no more, you stay here. And he himself walked for a whole day and went somewhere and sat under a tree. And his story is that, God, I've had enough. That's a man of God, said, God, I've had enough. Kill me right now. Take my life. I don't want to live anymore. Have you come to that point that sometimes we are so disappointed in life that you think life is not worth living? Have you? Has any of you? Just raise up your hand. There's nothing shameful about it. Thank you. God bless you. You guys are very honest. But I just want you to know that there is hope for you. Hallelujah. There is hope for you. You don't have to stay there because God is with you. We read, and when as you read on from verse 5 of 1 Kings chapter 19 on, what you see that God now steps in and started communicating with Elijah. Hallelujah. At that point, Elijah was depressed. He was in a cycle of disappointment. All disappointment begins with, depression begins with disappointment. No depression begins by itself. What is depression? Write something down, please, my brothers and sisters. Depression is being in a state of mental death. Depression is being in a state of mental death. Why? Because when you are depressed, your mind is stuck in the past. Amen? You see, are you getting what I'm saying? You see, when you are depressed, suddenly your mind doesn't seem to work anymore. The only thing you think about is the disappointment that you've come through. Anything anybody says doesn't go in. It goes there and goes there. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't understand what I'm going through. And all that they do, they focus on their disappointment. I did not get that job. Oh, I've been made redundant. Oh, there is difficult times. You can't see anything ahead of you apart from what your mind is telling you. So depression is being in a state of mental death. You don't respond to anything positive. You don't. You only respond to the negative that your mind is stuck in. You're stuck in your past. You're literally zombie. And this, there is no medical solution. Do you get that? You may go and see your GP and they give you tablets. You know what it does to you? It makes you more of a zombie. It slows your mind from thinking around so much. So you're sitting down like this. And that is what it does to you. Hello? I'm talking from experience. I'm not talking theories, right? Many years ago, I went through that. For 3 months or something like that, nobody knows that I was on. Not even my wife knew I was on antidepressant tablet because I was in a high capacity, a fast lane, and it's challenging. But I got to a point, I'm thinking, you know what? I have a God. I got to do something about it. And I will not allow my mind to be stuck in the past. When you are disappointed, it makes your heart sick. But when you are depressed, you get stuck in your disappointment. That has passed. Disappointment are always in the past. You cannot say, I'm going to be disappointed tomorrow. When a person is depressed, it comes from disappointments in the past. For instance, you become depressed because you've been disappointed in your marriage, in your business, in your work, or someone has defrauded you, or some failure in life, etc. When you live in your depression, you cannot live in the now. You live in the past. You will never get into the future if your heart is stuck in your past or your disappointment or your depression. That's why it is so difficult to get people out of depression. They are stuck, and that's part of the enemy's work. Those are some of the end time distractions to prevent you from achieving your purpose, your goal, your destiny, and your assignment. That's part of the enemy's work. I said, these things people don't understand. So they come and talk theologies and theories. But thank God, God has opened our eyes to such revelations. God has opened our eyes to understand. That's why we are being taught. This passage from, Elijah's case, people will preach it differently, but I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is true. The guy was depressed. Number two, what is depression? Depression is the vice of the enemy that locks you in a state of hopelessness. It's a vice of the enemy. Vice is something bad. Strategy of the enemy that locks you into a state of hopelessness. Anyone who is disappointed, who is depressed, that person has no hope, can't see the future. The person just sits there. Nothing is going to see. But you can say, but you can do this, you can do this. Yeah, They shut themselves in the room. They do nothing. Because they have no hope. Are you with me? I'm teaching you this, and probably you go and pay a psychiatrist to tell you this. And you're not paying me anything. So take it for free. This is from the Word of God, my guys, my friends. Depression is the vice of the enemy that locks you into a state of hopelessness. It will put you into a room. It surrounds you and padlock you into it. All that you say is, I have no hope. You can't look ahead of you. But there's hope here. Let's look at what Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. It says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news or the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, freedom, pardon, forgiveness to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed by tragedy, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and favor of God abounds greatly. So today, I'm saying the salvation of God, the deliverance of God, God setting you free, is abounding plentifully for you to take. So today, are you ready to take that salvation? Are you ready to be set free from where you at? Are you ready to be set free from what is breaking your heart? Are you ready to be set free from what has happened in the past that when you remember right now, it still hurts so much? Are you ready to be free? Jesus Christ said, I came to do this. You see, most people think Jesus Christ only came to preach the gospel for people to come to faith in him. Yes, he did that. But then he also did things. He also did things that actually touches the supernatural, the spirit, the soul, the emotions of people. People who are locked in. When you are depressed, it's as if you are locked in a room and somebody needs to get you out. Somebody who is depressed cannot get out unless somebody helps him or her. Do you understand that? When you are hurt and you are bruised and you lose faith and lose hope and you can't see ahead of you, somebody needs to help you. And we, the children of God, we Christians, we preachers, the Spirit of the living God is upon us to set free those who are bound, who are locked in, and declare to them that God's salvation, God's favor is here. Today, you come out of jail, come out of that cave. And you know what God said? What are you doing here, Elijah? God is saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah was in the cave hiding. And God, first he was sitting under the tree all by himself. Imagine, walked one day, one whole day. I don't know how many miles it would that be. Probably about 40 miles or thereabout, maybe less. Away from everybody and sitting in the desert under a tree. All by yourself. What do you want? Isn't that what sometimes you do? When people are depressed, they're always by themselves. They don't want to see nobody. And God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Put your name there. If you are at that point, if you are watching me from online, what are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you sitting there alone, don't want to see anybody? Why is it that you are at a point that you don't want to live anymore? Why are you here? What are you doing here, Elijah? Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. So, what does depression do to you? What does depression do to you? Number one, depression is not being able to see into the future. What depression does, we're talking about end time strategy, right? Disappointment leads you into depression. If you stay in it, you get into a cycle. That means it's going to happen to you again. Right? Unless you are prepared to get out of it. What does it do to you? One, it doesn't allow you to see into the future. You can't see anything into the future. A person who is depressed doesn't see any future. The enemy has locked him in, and the person has lost all hope. The reason is because your mind is dead. Then your physical body follows. Because you have no hope, the enemy sends fiery darts to your mind, and all that follows is negativity. But know that God is with you. Amen? All that you get involved is negativity. You never see anything or say anything positive. Nobody understands you apart from you, because you are caught in that cycle and you are negative. If when somebody is even saying something positive, you don't see, your response is always negative. Have you been in that situation before? Yeah, maybe only me. But that's okay. But I'm prepared to get out of that. You see, number two, what does depression do to you? Depression is abandonment of faith. You see, when your mind is caught up in negative things, sometimes you begin to blame everybody else for your problems. But it may not be that person. The enemy's strategy. You begin to see the evil in everybody but you. Number two, depression is an abandonment of faith. From that point, you don't look up to God anymore. You see the cycle, the way it is going? Then from there on, your faith is going. So anyone in a depressed state, you tell me that the person is on fire for God. No, sir. No, ma'am. Elijah at that time wasn't on fire for God at all. He was on fire for God prior. But when he was in that state, hiding in the cave or sitting in the desert, he wasn't on fire for God. He was running. So if anybody's, depressed, and you tell the person, oh yeah, the person is a Christian, the person is on fire, the person lies. It's not true. The person's faith goes, their faith abandoned. The person can't believe in God. Doesn't mean that the person has literally don't think about God at all, but the person can't trust God to get him or her out. When a person is depressed, they don't see anything in the future. And all that they see, everything is bleak. That's why people get into all sorts of bad things and illegal things, because their minds are dead. But get up and say to yourself, something good is going to happen to me today. Hallelujah. If you're in that state, say something good is going to happen to me today. Hallelujah. Number three, depression leads to suicidal thoughts. Today, probably I'm your improvised psychologist today. I'm helping you to get things that when you go, maybe your GP will not have the time to do it. So you tell him, go and see a psychologist. And because a psychologist may not be a Christian, they will tell you all that the mind knows. But we are telling you that all this, at the end of the day, God is our solution. Hallelujah. See, depression leads to suicidal thoughts. Because you are so disappointed that you look around and you don't see any hope for you. Because you are so disappointed and you just feel like you want to be by yourself. The next thing the enemy is telling you, why don't you take your life? What's the point in living? There's no hope. You're not going anywhere. At that point, you look for people and places to hide. What a devil will feed you with more of those lies, because his dart is out to destroy you. Amen. This can happen to anybody. It happened to Elijah, the prophet of God. If it happened to him, it can happen to me, it can happen to you. But there's a way out. I'm talking from hindsight. At that time, he couldn't see much himself, but God kept appearing, feeding him. God kept appearing, giving him food to eat. God kept appearing, talking to him. And sometimes he will listen, sometimes he will hesitate. But I pray that you listen. What is the problem with Elijah here? The people did not stand up for God for long. Jezebel was pursuing him to kill him. He also did not have anyone to impart his mantle to. He's a prophet of God. If they are going to kill him, then there's nobody to inherit. Because somebody needs to be a spokesperson for God. The people were literally going away from God. Somebody needs to sound a trumpet that where you are going is bad. And now he knows that God has called him to be a prophet. He's going to die. His life is under threat. And he's thinking, oh God, who am I going to give the mantle to? There hadn't been any succession plan. And the enemy loves that. He will take your life so that there will be nobody to take over from you, so that he will bring chaos and dysfunction and scatter the sheep. That is why when Jesus Christ was going to die, he called Peter and said, Peter, you son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter said, yes. He said, feed my lamb, care for my lamb, tend my sheep. Because Jesus wanted somebody to continue. Otherwise, there's going to be chaos in this world. And if God has not shortened those days, even the very elect will fall away. Did you get that? So then, it is important that Elijah pass on his mantle to somebody. But at that point, there was nobody to pass it on to him. Shall we read 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, verse 9, and 10 and 14? Is that there? Okay, I'll start from 1 Kings chapter 4, and hopefully the reading will come up. And we move on one more, please. Thank you. One more verse. Verse 4. Okay, verse 4. Bring up. Thank you. See, but when he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough, Lord. Now, take my life away. He was at a point of suicide. That's what depression does. So we read verse 9. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Move on to verse 10 for me. Can we check the software? What's happening? Verse 10, please. Thank you. And make verse 14 ready, please. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. Verse 14. And Elijah went on to say, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. Because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophet. You see, what Elijah was doing here was that he was repeating the same issue. You don't understand. I've been made redundant. You understand. I've lost a loved one. You don't understand. I mean, my wife has gone away from me. You don't understand. My children are giving me trouble. You don't understand. Everything I've failed in examination. You don't understand. I'm poor, you don't understand. They're saying the same thing over and over and over again. He's not doing anything different. Do you find yourself in that way, that position? Hello? Are you there? This is exactly what happens when you are caught up in disappointment and you are in a cycle of depression. That is exactly what you do. You repeat the same thing over and over and over again. Elijah was disappointed and depressed. But God said, Elijah, you are wrong. You are wrong. Let's read from verse 16 and verse 18 and see what God said. 1 Kings 19, verse 16 and verse 18. Elijah was repeating all the negative things time and time again. But God saying that there's something different. Verse 16, please. I'll try and then get it on my Bible. This stops my flow. Right, verse 16. God said, you are wrong. And God said, and you shall anoint Jehu. You see, you are thinking there's nobody else to pass on your mantle to. You have no hope. You have given up. You think there's no way out. God said, there is a way out. When you're saying that there's no way out, everything is negative, God said, there's some positive news for you. And God said, here, I've got news for you. You shall anoint Jehu. That means you have to pass your mantle to somebody. And the son of Nimshi as king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehola, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Hallelujah. He was worried that there's not going to be any more prophet. But God said, you are wrong. So as you are thinking negative, as you are thinking there's no hope, God says, you are wrong. I have a plan for you. I have a plan for good. Plan to prosper you. Plan to give you a future and a hope. So don't stick and don't get stuck and don't stay in your disappointment. Hallelujah. God is saying that. Say, don't stay in your disappointment. I've got plans for you. Plans for good and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. You see, so I would say, don't give up. There's a future for you. There's hope for you. There's something better for you. God is still pursuing you for a relationship. And he will send his angels to feed you. So stop and pay attention to what God is saying to you. Now go to 1 Kings chapter 19. I'll read from verse 5 to 18. Right now. So, and they went into a cave, right? So, God was there to feed them. I think I've lost my way right a little bit. But anyway, so what I'm trying to say is that God has something good for you. In this case, God sent his angels to come and feed the people. And that was incredible. What does depression do to you? Depression is the entry point for demons to oppress your life. Demons are persons without bodies. I'll stop after this. And I mean, next week we'll bring this bit to a close. We'll deal with how to deal with depression. And we'll have a powerful time of ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Depression is the entry point for demons. Your mind and body is being taken over by demons. Then suicidal thoughts begin to prevail. You see, when you're in that state, most of the people who causes suicide or who commit suicide are depressed. This is not me saying statistics tells us. I check it out. The majority of people in our country, in other Western countries, other countries probably don't gather, enough data. But where there's data, it tells that most of the people who take their life, who commit suicide or self-harm, are people who are depressed. And at that point, it's not just an emotional thing, but it's a spiritual thing. And it's not a medical issue anymore. I've checked the dictionary, I've checked a lot of records, and some say, okay, you have to receive counseling, some say you have to take tablets, some say you have to do whatever, and I'm sitting and I'm looking at them thinking, these are no solutions. You take tablets, make you more of a zombie. Counseling will talk you through all sort of things, and eventually, they'll go and even unearth things that you've forgotten about. It's good, but at the end of the day, it's a long process, it doesn't get you out. But what gets you out is when God intervenes, because you are dealing with now spiritual issue. Persons without bodies messing up your life, ready to take your life away. And that is what you have to do. And I'll just give you one passage here. That's Mark chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. And I'll read it very quickly. It said, this man had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with the stones. You see, when you are in this state, we've talked a lot about it. Because this man was demonized. If you read it, he was demonized by 700 persons without bodies, spirit that you don't see, messing up his mind, his whole body was being messed up. And this person, literally, he would not even live in a flat or home. He lived, he made his abode in the tombs. He was far away, filthy place, that's where he would live. Right? The cemetery is where he would live. And even when you try to bind him with chains, chains are a hard thing that you cannot get out of it. But the Bible says he was able to just snap them. That is some supernatural power. So you're dealing with some supernatural things. That's why we have to have supernatural solutions to some of these things. Do you understand that? Because it's not normal for human beings to break chains like that. Are you with me? It's not normal. And then the Bible said, neither could anyone tame him. And always day and night, he was in the mountains. Who in his rightful mind want to be in the mountains day and night, unless you're a mountain climber or you live in Scotland? Please, Scottish people, forgive me. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with you. But once I came to Scotland and my friend took me, he said, let's go to the mountain and spend the night. And I'm thinking, what? I came from London. I'm in London. I live in houses. I don't live in mountains. I did not go. Not that I was afraid, but I'm thinking that sounds interesting. So I did not go. But anyway, let me not digress. So this guy was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out. You see, literally, when you get to this point, you literally, what we call it, you are in a state of uncontrollable emotional outburst. Every now and then you're crying. Every now and then you are looking for pity. And then he was cutting himself with stones. Self-condemnation. Oh, look at me. Oh, look at me. I can't do this. I can't do that. You're condemning yourself. When you get to that state, my brother, my sister, know that it is not normal. You are being literally oppressed by something beyond yourself. And the solution is our God. Hallelujah. Solution is our God. And that is where our Christ came. So there's therefore no place for depression. There's no place for suicidal thought. There is no need to stay in your disappointment. I would like to stop here and I'll finish this version of, depression and disappointment next week. So I would like the musicians to come up here and I would like to pray.